Jensen, I'm Maureen Muldoon. I work for the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey, and we are basically the state agency that is responsible for all the subsurface information, so the things under your feet. Personally, I'm a groundwater scientist, or also called a hydrogeologist, but we have people who map bedrock geology, we have people who map surficial sediments. I focus on the groundwater, and so that's going to be the focus of today's talk, is the groundwater part of what's under your feet. Wisconsin karst aquifers, somebody said, why are we talking about aquifers? Well, because that's what holds groundwater. And karst aquifers are exceedingly productive aquifers. They yield a lot of water, but they're also very vulnerable aquifers. And we're going to talk about sort of what makes them vulnerable. And one of the things is the bedrock geology, just what are the rocks that make up that aquifer. And so everybody knows what limestone is, right? You've seen limestone. Another really similar rock is dolomite. And the feature about limestones and dolomites that's important for karst is that they dissolve, right? These are the rocks that have caves in them, which are basically just big dissolved holes underground. These are the rocks that get sinkholes. And so that's kind of what we mean by karst. So we're going to go into a little detail about bedrock geology a little bit. The water cycle is, of course, very important for aquifers because the water has to come from the sky to get into the aquifer. And we'll talk a little bit about the process of what we call groundwater recharge. Another thing that affects vulnerability is the soils, right? So what kind of material do you have on top of those rocks? How thick is it? Does it let water through easily or not? That's going to affect vulnerability because basically we count on soils to do some stuff for it. Think of all the things that happen at the ground surface. We count on soils to sort of filter and treat that water as it moves from the ground surface and into the aquifer. And then finally, the last thing that sort of matters is, what is the land use? What are we doing on top of the surface of the ground that might or might not affect that aquifer? So I'm just going to show you a quick outline. The first topic is going to be geology and karst. We're going to talk about the bedrock geology of the state. What do we mean by karst and where do we have karst aquifers? And then we'll go into some of the other parts like the water cycle and why worry about karst and those things. But just in terms of bedrock geology, so there's all these really brightly colored rocks in northern Wisconsin. And these are very old, like a billion years plus, crystalline rocks. And by that I mean things like granites, or like if you've been up to Devil's Lake and seen the quartzite, right? And it's all these intergrown crystals. They do not move water well. They are not good aquifers, right? But if you look at this line that goes from here over to here, that's this cross section. Okay, so it's as if you took a knife and kind of sliced into Wisconsin and you could look at it on the side. And what you see is you've got these old rocks on the bottom, but then you have this package of rocks on top that are like nice little layers, right? And those are our sedimentary aquifers. We'll go into a little more detail later, but the kind of tanny one is a Cambrian sandstone, and then there's a Prairie du Chien dolomite, and then there's a St. Peter sandstone, which a lot of people around here use for water supply. And then there's the Sinope group, which another stack of dolomites. This pinky one is the Maquoketa shale, and then this one way in the east is the Silurian dolomite. And so I'm going to be talking a lot about the Silurian dolomite, and then also talking about the Sinope and the Prairie du Chien dolomites that you have down here.